You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
It's Geeks Pub time. I'm Tim Robertson. He's David Cohen. Hello, David. How are you?
Husky. Getting over a cold. Yeah. That's why I wasn't here last week.
Well, I was, you know, you were there. You just weren't here on the show. I wasn't on the show either because I just didn't want to do it by myself. Plus, we're doing the bracket and, you know.
It doesn't really work, is it?
No.
As a one shot.
No.
As a solo piece.
I used to play a bracket game when I was a kid. Did I tell you that when we first started?
Nope.
I would take teams, and it didn't have to be from the same sport. It could be like the Lions from baseball and the New York Yankees from football and New York Yankees from baseball. And I would make a bracket, and I would flip a coin to see who would win. And I would I would make like hundreds of brackets and then take all the winners until I got to the ultimate champion. And they were nonsensical stuff, too. It could be the Hulk against, you know, the Los Angeles Raiders. It made no sense, but I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'd give the Hulk that one.
Probably.
Just saying. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Was it when Bo Jackson was playing? Because that might be, you know, he was pretty good.
Well, yeah, but the Hulk would just smash them all.
If he could catch Bo Jackson, he was pretty quick.
Yeah, he'd do that big bounding thing.
Yeah.
Though. You know, the pseudo superpower he has where, depending on the plot, he can travel as far as he wants just by jumping.
They kind of ruined the Hulk in comics, to be honest. His latest couple years of comics have been horror-based, which I don't have a problem with horror, but... And people say, well, that's how his character started. It's kind of taken him to his roots, and I don't care what his roots were. The stories are well-written, don't get me wrong, but I just... It doesn't work for me for the Hulk, and it's making me lose interest big time.
So but how does that work to make? I mean, is he kind of moving around the place in a cloak with a mask on? I mean, what?
No, it's always some scary character that pops out of nowhere, and
he has to fight him,
and yeah.
Well, that's not really horror, is it?
By the way,
every Hulk story.
No, it's horror based. If you read a couple, you'd get it. They also made him immortal. So you could pretty much do anything to the Hulk, and he never dies, which is a stupid, stupid move for any character, because if he can't die, there's no real threat to him.
This is the Superman problem.
Well, Superman could die. It's just super hard to kill him.
Yeah, well, have they made him magically immortal? Is that how it is? Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that's kind of...
You know. They're kind of ruining the character, and it's... I don't know. Anyways, let's move on to, you know, you were talking about Rebel Moon. The second movie came out on Netflix. Neither one of them are. We haven't watched it. We will, but neither one of us is very enthused after we destroyed the first one on this show.
It came out in much the way that when your dog has eaten something bad, it comes out.
Yeah. No one knows it's coming, but when it does, everyone smells it.
When it does it, yeah, exactly. It's like, what's that?
What is that?
Oh, now I've got to go and clean up.
I'll watch it just to see the train wreck unfold, but I'm not very confident that it's going to be good.
My son has watched it and said it's worse than you can imagine.
You know, I don't want to be a Zack Snyder hater.
Why not? Everyone else is.
Right, he's done some good stuff. I think Watchmen was good, 300 was good.
No. And we've talked about that before.
If he's using characters that don't pre-exist, I think he does usually a pretty decent job, although Rebel Moon is trying to contradict that. But the stuff in DC was just terrible.
I think he just needs guardrails. You know, he needs to be able to do his thing, but he needs to have somebody around him to say no. And the problem with Rebel Moon in particular is... That just shows what happens when he's given free rein to do whatever the hell he wants.
Thank God that this did not turn into a Star Wars thing, because that's what it was originally conceived as.
Yeah.
Anyways, we were talking about that I read that, this new one is the middle of a trilogy now, which is, this is not how it was pitched, and this is not how I understood. It was part one and part two. It was one giant movie, but he had to break it up into two because it was too much. And now it's a middle of three. And you made the observation, what?
I said, well, in just the way that the original Star Wars movie was retconned to be part four of nine, when in fact, when they made it, it was not meant to be that at all. It was meant to be completely standalone. And they had to add all the stuff around it. And I guess in possibly the way that Snyder might do Rebel Moon, but who knows? Because much like Rebel Moon, Star Wars itself was quite derivative in that he was stealing ideas from all sorts of other classic Japanese and historical movies. That gave him enough scaffolding to actually hang the lore onto it, to actually make, certainly for the first three movies, to make it all hang together.
Well, when Star Wars did hit, it did say Episode 4, A New Hope.
Yeah, I know, but that was a stylistic choice.
Yes, and he was basing that off of the 40s and the 30s
Flash Gordon, yeah, and the things they used to show them on the TVs, original black and white movie shorts on TV here in the when I was a kid. You know, with the ships with the sparklers out the back and everything. And that was the same thing. They were radio serials turned into movie serials. And so that's why it was Episode 4. It was meant to be like, well, this is in the middle of a serial.
Yeah, it was a style thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a cunning plan.
He may have had ideas for movies that would come after, or maybe even before, and how they got here, but he was making one movie. And there was 0% chance that he was thinking it would be the success that it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
And in fact, everyone else didn't think it was going to be hugely successful. They thought it was good, especially some of his movie friends. But, Spielberg watched it, thought it was really great. But nobody thought it was going to be a blockbuster. And it became the blockbuster to end all blockbusters, really, because here we are, however many years it is. What's it, 50 years now?
Not yet. 77. So we still have a few more years.
Yeah, right. And we're still. It's still a living, breathing, very active, money-making franchise. So
it's probably bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. That's exactly what Snyder was deliberately trying to do with Rebel Moon.
Sure.
Yeah, and
quick question: can you name one character from Rebel Moon? Thank you.
Yeah.
Neither can I.
No.
Because no one cares.
No.
Nobody.
Well, yeah, you can, I can, if I think hard enough, I can remember some of the characters.
But you can't remember their name.
They can't remember their names.
Right.
There's Action Chick.
Action Chick who got rid of left the bad guys, but maybe they're not really all that bad guys.
And yeah, there's
a dog or something.
There's a broody, handsome farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
there's a robot
there's
cool. English, the best part of English it robot. Disappeared the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that I really was interested in just disappears for 95% of the movie.
But you see, here's the thing. That is quite a good idea. So why not just do that? Do the movie about the robot?
It's hard to have a brooding robot.
Well, doesn't need to be
brooding. That's drenched in sweat all the time.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But you could do slow motion on slow motion with a robot, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is the robot just moving slowly, or?
Yeah, you watch it and say, does somebody need to oil that robot, or is this a stylistic choice?
And how do robots ever miss a shot?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a robot.
Yeah.
You give a robot a gun, it's not going to miss.
You wouldn't imagine so.
Well, it's computerized. I mean, it's going to nail the target every time.
Unless something happens between it taking the shot and the shot hitting the target that it didn't see. So I guess with current technology,
we could take a 3-ton tube, a missile, launch it,
more than that. We can
3,000 miles it within 2 centimeters.
We've built robots that are basically flying planes, robot planes, that can take off, fly 3,000 miles, hover over a target and wait for something to come up and then shoot it with a missile. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It doesn't make sense that robots miss.
Especially in the future.
Yeah.
Because they're all in the future.
Cool.
Even Terminator came back from the future.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad that we don't have humanoid robots that never miss now, because people would use those in bad ways.
Oh, I don't know. I think human race is great. We don't do anything evil. I'll watch it, but I'm just not.
You just don't care. We don't care.
I don't really.
Who cares about Snyder?
I tell you what I do care about is I watched the first season of Fallout on Amazon. Mm. Now, Fallout is based on a video game series that I've never played, and I really didn't have any, oh my gosh, they're coming out with this, but I saw the trailer months ago, and I thought, oh, that actually looks kind of interesting. I don't know anything about the characters at all, but it looked very stylish, and it looked kind of cool. It also looked kind of gruesome, which, woo way it is. It's not for little kids. Yeah. On any level. Groggins is in it. He's one of my favorite actors. I really like that guy. He plays the ghoul. And I didn't know, when I saw the trailer, I'm like, I don't know if I want to look at this ghoul's face all the time with his nose missing and looking in.
Most people in universe are kind of like that about the ghouls.
Kind of a good point. So I watched the first series. I'd give it an A+. It was fantastic.
I mean, the long used to be this joke that you couldn't do video game adaptations, and they've just been getting better and better and better. And
they have.
This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I was familiar with the Fallout universe, but not really played the games. I think I might have played 20 minutes of Fallout 3. And when you play it, I can see the one of the things that works is the style of the universe is excellent. It's post-apocalyptic after a nuclear war, and there are people who live in vaults underground who survived the war. They were like rich people before the war, so
and
they
this survived is Earth, the nuclear but war. It's not our Earth.
Yeah, that's right. This is, well, obviously we've not had a nuclear war, but there are, yeah.
Before the nuclear war.
It's a different timeline. Yeah. But the idea is that at some point in the future, there will be this nuclear war, and there will be people who survive on the surface, and then there will be people who are privileged but cut off from humanity who survive in these vaults. And what happens when these two worlds mix together? And that's what this show is about. It's what the video games are about. And I understand why the video games are so beloved, because it's an incredibly rich world. The vault dwellers kind of have this, they have a lot of technology, but it's kind of this retro 50s style technology that's a very popular science fiction, but it's done very well here. And then, yeah, the characters in the wastelands, the surface, are incredibly rich. And they've just taken this and you know, you kind of look at it and you think, why did nobody do this before? Because this is awesome.
Yes.
And it is absolutely awesome.
It's not steampunk, but it's some of it kind of smacks of steampunkism.
Well,
they just take so many different genres and blend it in a way that you just completely accept. I didn't realize you had watched this yet.
I've watched some of it. Yeah. I haven't watched all of it yet.
Yeah, I couldn't stop watching it. It was my before work show.
It just goes to show that if you tap a vein of really, you know, in the past we've had Doom and stuff like that, and Tomb Raider and things like that, and all of these games are relatively shallow.
Yeah,
because that's what video games used to be. But Fallout is a franchise of, well, they're up to 4, 5,
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't play them.
Yeah, I think they're up to the 5th game. So it's an incredibly rich universe with a lot of thought and effort and time gone into it. And it's from a company that doesn't make shallow video games. These are role-playing games. And so there is a lot to do in them. There's a lot of stuff in there. And you think about it, you realise, well, obviously, those are the best things to adapt into video games. You know, when they ever get around to doing a Grand Theft Auto game, it'll be the same sort of thing. If you riff off the characters that are in the games and some of the things that happen in the games, that'll probably be really enjoyable. The good thing about Fallout is that it's not just a fan service game. I mean, anybody who has any interest in this type of media will love this show, even if they know nothing about the video game.
You could tell that the people behind it really, really put effort into it to make it more than the video game, but it's definitely from the video game.
Yeah.
But you said GTA, if they ever get around to doing a GTA movie, they can't. Because GTA itself is a riff off of a lot of different movies and TV shows. That's where GTA... GTA Vice City is Miami Vice. I mean, it just is.
But they... you know full well they will do a movie at some point, and it will riff on the games, even though the games riffed on gangster, you know, gang movies. That's what they'll do, you know.
See, that my problem with the GTA series is, what do you take? Do you take the city? No, because it could be any city. The city is a secondary player. Do you take the main characters? Because they're kind of one-dimensional. Do you take the stories themselves that they're telling? Well, the stories are all over the place, and they're just riffing off of classic movies and TV. I mean, because I've seen so many things that's a riff off Boys in the Hood, The Wire, Miami Vice, I mean, The Godfather. They steal from everybody, which is fine when you're talking about an open-world video game, but I don't think it works. Other than brand recognition, I just don't see the point in making a movie.
Well, the point is money, always. Well,
but they could have done this. GTA is one of the biggest video game franchises in the entire planet. And then a lot of people like you are saying, well, this was going to lend itself well to, you know, movies or a TV show or something like that. I disagree, but it would have already been done if Rockstar would have allowed it. They've already been approached
many times. Yeah, well, if they're not allowing it, then obviously it won't happen. But at some point, you know, they will be acquired by somebody, or somebody will come in who thinks it's a good idea, and it will happen, I expect, because...
Only when the current owners finally, you know, retire.
Yeah, maybe, but it might be that long. What I find interesting about Fallout in particular is I watched the Halo TV show.
Yeah, terrible.
It's not great. I still enjoy it because I love the universe, and I just dig the idea of seeing a live-action Master Chief, even if most of the time he's wandering around without his helmet and a jumpsuit.
Confused about everything.
Yeah.
They pretty much ruined that character now.
The problem is there, they've deliberately, they're picking very lightly from the lore of the video games, so much so that here we are two seasons in and they've barely been to the Halo, and it's in the name of the show, right? But
I gave it one episode of the new season. Season two, and I haven't gone back because I just don't care. It's so boring that I just don't care. I think the actors are trying their best, but it's so poorly written. So poorly written. They've completely destroyed the mystique that Master Chief is. I could care less about any of them. They could all die in a nuclear explosion on the second season, and I could care less.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, fallout happens because,
The difference between the two is literally night and day. I mean, it really is. You talk about a difference in quality. And it just goes to show. I mean, I think if GTA ever happens, it will be more of a Halo-type show than it will be from Fallout.
Well, that's my fear. You've said. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, they could do something unique with it, but they wouldn't. That's why I think they haven't allowed it. I don't think they've ever seen anything that was, they were like, yes, this is the spirit of GTA.
Well, talking about the spirit, I mean, they did that Super Mario movie with Chris Pratt in.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us were very pleasantly surprised by not how good the movie was of its own, but how it really did capture the spirit of a Mario game.
Yeah, but see, that's fairly easy.
Yeah. Well, admittedly, you've not got a lot of depth to work with there.
No.
So you can kind of riff off of that, and I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think that was great. Yeah. That movie is really fun to watch. I don't think it has a lot of replayability. You're not going to watch it multiple times. But when you watch it for the first time, you're like, this is great, and you can enjoy it as an adult and kind of really appreciate, oh, they got that from that game. Hey, that character's there, and that looks cool. But it's really made for kids, and I think it does a fantastic job of that.
Yeah.
What's not fantastic is creators going back to stuff that they did before, trying to rekindle a magic that, quite honestly, they destroyed the first time around, And in this case we're talking about Tim Kring. If you remember right, he was a creator behind Heroes, which the first two seasons of Heroes was just brilliant. This was at the same time frame that they were doing Lost, and you know, it was
and it had a similar
form TV.
Yeah, it had a similar shtick. There was a lot of mysteries. A
lot of mystery.
You wanted the answers to, and you weren't getting.
And the longer that show went on, it got worse and worse and worse until when they finally killed it, you were like, I don't care anymore. They completely destroyed the whole thing.
And then a few years later, they rebooted and nobody cared about the reboot either.
Yeah, and now they're rebooting it again.
Now they're rebooting it again, yeah. I mean, you talk about trying to recapture the magic. One of the things about Heroes when it came out is people weren't doing superhero TV back then.
Not TV, no.
This was superhero TV, and the difference was it wasn't just one superhero. It was full of superheroes. And none of them knew they were superheroes. And it was very interesting to see, you know, you've got what happens if a psychopath becomes a superhero? You know, that was the first time we'd seen that on TV. And, you know, the guy who played
Spock,
who went on to become Spock, you know, Zachary Quinto, is a great actor, and he just owned that role. I mean, he was scary.
He was.
Yeah.
And they ruined that character as they went on.
Well, they ruined all of them because they basically didn't know where to go with them. And the problem was that they felt the need to answer the questions that they posed. And every time you answer the question, the show gets worse.
Yep.
And so what they would do is they'll answer the question. The big thing of the first season was save the cheerleader, save the world. And the cheerleader is somebody who's like Wolverine. She's effectively self-healing. She's invulnerable, right? And yet she's going to get killed, right? So immediately you start thinking, how's this going to work and all of that? There was a whole thing with other characters who, you know, you can't find out what their powers are and they're in conflict and all the thing. It was great.
Yep.
Yeah, but the problem is as soon as you get to the end of the first season and all of a sudden you realise save the cheerleader, save the world, just opened up a new question, people go, oh.
Yeah,
you know, they kind of carried it through to the second season, and then towards the second season, it just went down because it started to be consumed by its own lore, and it was like it became like a soap opera.
Yes,
every single character. I always say this about soap operas is the problem with a soap opera. You have a fixed number of characters, so the fixed characters need to go through the same cycle. They need to fall out with each other, and they need to try and kill each other, and they need to sleep with each other. And when you've only got a show with 15-20 characters in, you just, and it, the longer it goes on, the more you have to mix that up so that all of them are doing all of that to everybody.
Well,
and
eventually, Heroes kept everybody's also introducing new characters as time went on, and the characters you wanted to watch you weren't seeing.
Yeah.
And then when you finally got back to them, their story would take a twist. Like the bad guy kind of became a good guy for a while. And you're like, this is the bad guy. Him rebooting this whole thing. Now, I'm glad he's not saying it's a continuation. It's a reboot. So at least they're going to start from scratch. But do you think, as the original creator, and we don't know that what it became was what he wanted, or it was, I think this was an ABC production. That it was the people, hey, this is a hit, we got to keep this going, and you know, do you think it's going to be any good, or is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down reboot? I give it a thumbs down.
I don't think we need this. That's the problem, is if you want to do superheroes on TV, do superheroes on TV. You don't need to hang it on. The story actually says that even though it's a reboot, it's set years after the original.
Yeah, so it's not a reboot then.
So it's not a reboot.
Continuation.
A reboot would need to be, let's do exactly the same stuff in a new universe and do a different take on it. And I don't think they're going to do that. So the point is it's being developed. Nobody's actually commissioned this, so I suspect it's going to go nowhere.
I don't know. With all the streaming services, somebody will pick it up.
You reckon?
I mean, it's got recognition. We're talking about it.
Well, yeah, but the problem is the some of the recognition it's got is not that good because people remember how the first one fizzled out. So
I don't know. It's been over a decade. We'll see.
And
look, he's not
been hugely successful since.
Well, that's kind of why he's rebooting this.
Yeah, he did a Bourne series that was on Amazon terrible. For a while that was not good, yeah.
But, you know, I'm never hoping for the negative. I'm always hoping that this is going to be great. And if they do come out with something and it's great, I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. But I think that Heroes, and I'll be honest with you, I really do think this was studio interference. I think the studio made it more than what the original creators wanted to do. And nowadays, the creators have a lot more power when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I'm rooting for it, but I'm still giving it a thumbs down.
Yeah.
This one kind of hurts me a little bit. Star Wars Lower Decks is ending after season 5.
I don't understand why. And why are they stopping this show?
My guess is they're going to have a new animation series to replace it.
But
because Paramount's all in with the Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, but if you have something that's successful and works, then all you're doing is you're taking a risk by scrapping it and trying to do something new.
Yes and no. I am firmly of the opinion that if the creators behind it are like, you know what, we've got one more season of this and then we want to do something different, then do that. Don't just turn it over to someone else who just starts cranking out terrible stuff. As long as that's the reason why, then I'm for it. We'll never know, probably, but my guess is the creators wanted to move on to something else.
Well, maybe, but my slight discomfort with all of this is that recently it looks like they're not really sure what to do with the Star Trek franchise. They're kind of drowning in their own success because they don't seem, this last season of Discovery,
which I haven't watched yet.
All right. Well, I've watched the first few episodes and it's so much better than all of the seasons they've done before because they finally dropped everything that they brought with them. And it's now purely a Star Trek show in the future.
Oh, that's good.
And it's great because it's a Star Trek show in the future. You know, there's still...
Isn't all the Star Trek shows in the future?
No, I'm talking about disconnected from the rest of the Star Trek universe. You know, and they've got some particularly cool tech on that show. And the way they use it is now just being like, you know, instead of them being special, right, they're just another starship. All right, they have particular qualities. You know, they can teleport the ship out wherever they want, which is used to Starfleet's advantage. There is still a little bit of, that same thing is like, why do the captains do all the work? Which is actually something that Lower Decks think, mocks brilliantly about how the senior staff take all the credit and live their life with this incredible luck and all of this sort of thing. And then there's the poor schlubs in the Lower Decks who are actually doing incredible things as well. Nobody gives them any notice. So Discovery still suffers a little bit from that. And they're also having to do some dancing around some of the choices they made with the characters in previous seasons, and they want to keep them on screen. But generally, it's a much better... This is the best season from the start that I've watched, and this is the last season.
But up until now, though, we were both like, they need to end this show.
Yeah.
Because it was the weakest of all the new Star Trek reboot stuff.
Yeah, but
because Discovery has been cleared for another season beyond the one that's already filmed. Yes, it has.
No, has it? Yes. Or is it next season that's going to be the last season? I thought this was the last season. I'm pretty sure this is the last season.
No, Discovery. That's the first one, the new one.
Yeah, Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the last season of
Discovery.
It.
Discovery. Which one am I thinking of?
The one with the teleporting ship and Michael Burnham.
No, the other one. Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds. Well, I'm not surprised that's continuing on because that's a brilliant show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not in the future. It's a prequel, which is fine because it's so well done.
Yeah.
Picard, all three seasons were good. I think some are better than others. I think the first season I'd give it an A. The second season, a B. And the last season, an A+.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like that's continuing, or maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Well, this is what I mean, is, you know, they had the best received season of Picard, and they deliberately set it up to spin off a show from it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, to finish Picard, but to spin off a new show from it.
The studio didn't do that. The creators did.
Yeah, but
hoping that they do it.
But, yeah, but what's wrong with the studio? Are they stupid? Right, this was the best received episode season of a property that linked back to the past, but also took you forward to a new franchise, a new series, and they're dithering about when they're going to do it or not. You know, why? I mean, you just have to look at that, and as soon as surely the
Strange
numbers
New
came
Worlds
out
is the only one that's going forward.
Yeah, that we know this about. This is what I mean. This is what I don't understand. I don't think they really understand what to do with their franchise.
I think there's more going on than they've just made publicly available, which is why they're lowering or they're canceling, or they didn't say it's canceled. It's ending with season 5, which I'm fine with. Again, if there's something planned. And just because we don't know the plan doesn't mean that they're stupid. Yeah. We just don't know what they're planning. So I'm okay with season 5 being the last of Lower Decks. 5 seasons each. I've enjoyed every single episode of it. Every single one. It's been great. They took these characters and put them in live action.
Amazing.
With the voice acting, which was amazing. I love that episode so much. I watched it twice. It's just, you could not have done a better job. Really. Yeah. And you say Strange New Worlds or Discovery it's the best it's ever been this year. So now I kind of want to watch it.
Yep.
So I don't know. You say they don't know what they're doing. Maybe they know exactly what they're doing. They're getting rid of the stuff on purpose to replace it with something better. Let's give them credit for something that, you know, might happen.
Well, they're running a very tight ship because we're not hearing anything about what they're replacing him with.
Well, thank goodness, because I'm tired of all the leaks and stuff all the time.
No, well, then we'd have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of stuff to talk about. Like season 2 of Peacemaker. Now, you thought this was already in the can and
soon. Again, I'm surprised it's not. I know.
Well, it's because it's James Gunn that did it, and he kind of took over DC, and he had a lot of work to do. And he's only directing a few of the episodes of the new season, which is fine. As long as they get a director in there that really knows what he's doing, but it's still being run by James Gunn, who's running the entire studio. What I don't understand is, how is there a season 2 for a universe that they've basically killed?
Oh, that is a good point.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, maybe Peacemaker remains the only remnant of the old DC universe. Maybe they'll just reboot it. Maybe they'll just have him fall.
They still don't know what the hell they're doing at DC. I swear to God. Look, I saw the preview, the trailer for the new Joker movie.
Mm-hmm.
Could not care less.
No?
No, not even a little bit. I watched it. I was really excited to see it, and then I saw it, and I'm like, yeah.
That's the sort of... Joker is the sort of movie I think, you know, trying to continue it on that one is
stupid.
A bit of a fool's errand because, again, you're trying to recapture the lightning in the bottle.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, right, now we're going to have Harley Quinn played by Lady Gaga. It sounds like stunt casting to me. You know, not to diss the woman. She's a great actress. Obviously, she won an Oscar. But it's, you know, it opened, again, talking about heroes with the questions, it opens up the questions that you didn't have in the first movie, right? The first movie, we didn't know whether it was really Batman Joker or not. There were hints, there were suggestions, there was misdirection. Halfway through the movie, you find a lot of what you've been watching is all in his head, which kind of makes sense for the Joker, yeah? And then, obviously, he turns into a anti-hero, which is what the Joker actually is in our universe, because a lot of people admire the Joker, even though he's evil. Yeah, and then the film ends, and you just start and think, that was really clever, that was really good. And now if you've got Harley Quinn in there all of a sudden, well, it's like, well, that suggests this directly is the Batman Joker. And at that point, you start thinking, well, does that work? Does that not work?
You know,
where is Batman?
What I wanted in a Harley Quinn character... Or movie, I should say, is how she becomes Harley Quinn. They've never told that in the movies.
Mm.
And It's, you know, they did it in the Batman animated series because that's where the character originally came from.
Mm-hmm.
She was never a comic book character.
Yeah, I remember.
And she was Joker's doctor.
Yeah,
and he completely corrupted her. What a story to tell.
Well, maybe they could do that
with Robbie. She could totally do that movie.
Yeah.
And now it's ugly Lady Gaga. I'm sorry, she's ugly.
And the other thing as well is the Harley Quinn character already has a fantastic platform, which is the cartoon show they do, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it kind of takes a comedic turn on Harley Quinn that actually works really well.
Yep.
And again, so that's one of the problems that I think that they've had with the DC universe is there's all these different stripes of these same characters, and
that's what I'm saying.
Confusing for
Marvel
people.
Marvel would never do this.
No.
You got to stay true to the character.
Yeah.
But then again, we wouldn't have the brilliant Harley Quinn on HBO Max.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have got this Joker set in the 70s. We wouldn't have got a rebooted Batman 20 times. I mean,
we don't know what we want. Let's face it.
The people in charge doesn't know what we want.
No, because the people in charge, I think the fundamental problem with a lot of this is the people in charge are just people too. They all think that they're incredibly clever and they're all media geniuses, but 90% of them aren't.
Well, here's my issue with James Gunn. He comes in and he says, okay, you know what? None of this stuff is working. We're going to reboot everything. And all of DC is going to be under one umbrella. It's a shared universe. Except for this Batman movie. Because that was already pre-approved. It was already done. And the Aquaman movie was already done. And the Flash movie was already done. So those are going to run this course. And then after that, it's a reboot. Except the Joker stuff, because that's different. And you know what? I did the Peacemaker, and even though it's set in the DCU, I really enjoyed doing it. My wife's on the show. It was really popular and funny. We're going to keep that one too. So what has changed? Yeah. You're just recasting roles? What? What's different? Because now it's still a mess.
I think the only thing they appear to have materially done is got rid of Zack Snyder.
That's all they seem to have done, yes.
That's all they did. They did.
And Ezra Miller, finally.
Yeah. Well, when we
met. After they let him make a movie again, which was terrible. It had some good parts in it, but it was still terrible.
Well, the third act ruined it. Up until then, I was actually quite enjoying it.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But once again, they have the Marvel problem. They don't know what to do in the third act.
Yeah.
It's got to be a big, bright light in the sky somehow. Anyways, let's get on to... what everyone listening to this episode has been dying for, I'm sure. It's our bracket.
40 minutes of fluff, yes. And now we get to the meat.
It's our bracket. This is the second round of season 2. These are all of our winners from the last couple episodes going against each other, so we can start nailing it down a little bit. And the first one we've got, both of these won pretty handily, to be honest. But
yep.
This is not as clear-cut as you may think. We have the 2012 The Avengers movie against 1997's Men in Black. Now, mm-hmm. We both agree Men in Black is such a good movie. I mean, it's the one that really made Will Smith a superstar.
Is it? Did he do Independence Day before or
he after? He did, but that was still more of an ensemble movie.
Yeah.
This is the one that really... made Will Smith, I think, who Will Smith is.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he slapped people in this one, too.
He did, quite a few. Aliens. But is it better than the first Avengers movie? Which, I'll be the first to say, the very first Avengers movie, and I know I've said this before in the past here on the show, is almost a perfect superhero movie. Yes, yep. I know it's Josh Whedon and all the issues there and all that, but there's something about seeing these characters on screen for the first time at the level that you're seeing them.
Yeah.
It just wasn't done. I wanted this movie to be good so bad, and I was so scared that it would suck, and it was so good.
Yep. And this time, amazingly, this was one that had a good third act.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Yeah, the whole it's almost a perfect comic book movie.
Yeah, I think so. But having said that, Men in Black is almost the perfect sci-fi comedy.
It is.
You know, so this is kind of tough. I'm inclined to lean towards the Avengers because actually they got a lot more good movies out of that.
They did.
Whereas Men in Black, progressed. The films got progressively worse the more they did.
You know, there were some good parts in the sequels, like the third one where Will Smith actually meets his dad for a minute. I thought that was really cool. It had its moments, but as a general rule, they're pretty bad. But we got to judge it from just this movie. We can't say, oh, it got worse over time.
Well, if we're doing that, what I would say is I just said that The Avengers has a good third act.
Have you ever seen an ensemble movie that really focuses accurately and fairly on every single character?
Yeah.
As well as The Avengers. I can't think of one.
No, because most of them would pick one or two hero characters, and it would be about them.
Well, the X-Men, as an example, really is Wolverine.
Yeah.
Everybody else is a secondary character.
Whereas even the guy with the arrows. You know, I mean, they even made jokes about it in the next one. But the point is that, they utilize the skill sets of the Avengers to fight off an invasion. And everybody is holding their own. And you just think, well, this is why they are the Avengers. I have to say, on that criteria, I always thought the third act of Men in Black was weak.
Oh, I agree. The whole bug climbing up the thing, and he.
I mean, it was a cool idea to have him go to the World Trade to the, you know, whatever it's called, the World Expo or anything, and that's actually a spaceship. It kind of was, but it is kind of weak. The alien has been ahead of them the whole movie, and then at the end they're just shooting down out of the sky.
Yes.
I just thought it was not a great denouement for the movie.
Yeah.
But then having said that, I think the MacGuffins in Men in Black have always been a little bit weak. It's one of these things, you know, something happens, the Men in Black have got to go and recover it, fix it, whatever, and off they go. And that's the excuse for what happens.
Yep.
And all the stuff that happens.
Whereas, so we agree with the Avengers.
I think it has to be the Avengers,
The next one, I think this is fairly simple. Superman 2, 1980, with General Zod and all that. Christopher Reeves as Superman. Against a decade later, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, as much as that is a really fun movie, I don't think it holds a candle to Superman 2.
No.
Because Superman 2 is also almost a perfect superhero movie.
Yeah. In fact, it was better than the first movie.
Oh,
it
no
was
question.
Much better, even though I know they filmed them both at the same time, but it was a much stronger movie than the first movie was, even though the first movie introduce the character and everything, because you know it had Kryptonians fighting each other. What more can you want?
Exactly, and it was pretty cheesy action, but
well, you say that now, by modern standards, it is. But at the times, that was so ambitious, for them to go and say we're going to have Kryptonians fighting each other in the middle of a city, and we are going to have people being thrown around and destruction and all of that sort of stuff, and actually. You know, some of the people that come later, like Zack Snyder in his Superman movie where he had a battle in the city, could learn some things about the... You know, because one of the key points about that fight is that effectively Superman realizes he can't win because they can always hurt people around him. And he can never fight them because he's got to protect the people.
Yeah, and he tricks them, you know? And that's how he wins. It's a great movie. It really is. And clearly it's a better movie than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Next, both of these won. Now, the first one is Watchmen, who beat 2011's Thor. And we have the new Spider-Man, I guess you'd... The 2002 Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Which easily beat Green Lantern. These are both really good movies. I could see either one of these winning, to be honest.
Yeah.
But... When I think about the joy of either one of these movies, Watchmen is really dark, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, and Spider-Man isn't. But Spider-Man is so much more an inspiring character in this movie.
Yeah.
And how do you beat Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man? I don't know if you can. I mean, Tom Holland's Spider-Man is better, but I don't know, man. Yeah. I think Spider-Man's a better movie than Watchmen.
Watchmen's is kind of more epic in scope because of the material.
Yeah. One of the top five comic books ever written is Watchmen.
Yeah, yeah.
And Spider-Man's not in the top 10 on any story.
No, but in terms of superhero movies, I don't think most people would rate Watchmen as a top five superhero movie. No. And I think they would rate Spider-Man as in the top five, potentially.
Yeah, but this is you and me talking.
I'm saying that, you know, when I think about... I mean, it's the turn it on and watch it at night test. I probably would not wade through Watchmen again.
No, it's a little weighty.
Yeah, whereas I would absolutely and have done watch Spider-Man again. In fact, any of the... maybe not the third one, but the first two Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies.
Isn't Green Goblin kind of lame, though?
Well, he is, I always thought the character in the comics was a little bit lame, to be honest. Yeah.
In fact,
they gave... I thought in the first one they gave the Green Goblin a suitable amount of danger.
Neurosis?
yeah, obviously, but that's part of what makes him dangerous, is the fact that he is completely crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can't trust him on anything because he's mad. And, you know, he is, and the stuff he, unlike in the comics, right, when he used to throw those goblin bombs around, you just kind of thought, oh yeah, you know, they were seriously scary in the movie.
That's true.
And the blades on and all of this sort of thing, you know. And the second one, I remember Spider-Man even says to himself, he says to himself, "I hate these things." Or maybe that was the third one. Anyway,
third one. Yeah.
I'm thinking Spider-Man, and I'm thinking that their Green Goblin, actually, to call him lame is not fair. Mm. And he'll throw a bomb
maybe
in your face.
Maybe it's just the suit. The suit was just...
Yeah, well, it had that kind of pseudo metal rubber thing that they were doing.
If they would have done Green Goblin like they did in, and of course that didn't exist at the time, but like they did in the Ultimate comic line where he transforms into it, more like a Hulk, that was a scary-ass Green Goblin. That was the one that I would like to have seen, but...
But you've got to remember at the time...
Yes.
You know, this was when superhero movies, bizarrely enough, were still trying to be grounded in some sort of...
Reality.
Pseudo-reality. Yeah. Which is why, you know, in this movie, Peter Parker, he gets bitten by a spider, and he can project webs from his wrists on his own without having technology. You know, which was always a little bit odd.
Oh, they even call that out in...
yeah, I know. They call that out in the Tom Holland one, yeah.
Which I thought was great that they mentioned that.
Yeah, I can understand why they wanted Green Goblin to be a man in a military suit rather than, it would be interesting to see a real army flying on those.
That would be kind of cool looking.
It'd be cool looking, except for the fact, you know, people would be falling off all the time. Surfing is hard.
Well, it'd be magnetic boots.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man moves ahead. The last... this one's not easy for me. Mystery Men from 1999, which we were both raving about because we both love this movie. It beat Hellboy. Against 2008's Wanted, which beat 300. I really like Wanted.
I do too.
It's one of those movies that if it's on, I watch, and it just reminds me of how good it is. A fish out of water... You know, you're learning about this whole thing through this one guy. I think the acting is just really good. I think that the mystery behind, is she good, is she bad, Angelina Jolie's character in here, and she looks fantastic in it. I mean, who wouldn't fall in love with that woman? It's so good. I rewatched Mystery Men after our last episode, and it's good. It doesn't hold up all that great.
You don't think?
No, I just watched it, and I enjoyed it. And those things I forgot about, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's fun and cute. I don't think it's a better movie than Wanted. I really don't.
I would say I'm kind of now, to be fair, I haven't watched either of them recently, but I would say that in terms of memorability, I think people who've seen Mystery Men remember it more than people who've seen Wanted.
Yeah.
Even though Wanted is incredibly cool, I mean, it's one of the things that really works for it, it's very cool, very stylish, as well as great performances and a good story.
I think people remember Mystery Men because it was funny, and they remember bits of it, but people do also remember the bending the bullets thing.
Hmm.
I mean, Wanted is really just a one-trick pony. They can make bullets go around in a circle, right?
Or they can fire them for a long time, or...
Yeah.
You know, they've got bullet powers.
Yes. Whereas Mystery Men, only one person actually has powers in the whole movie. Well, no, there's a couple. But the third act is really bad in Mystery Men.
Yeah.
It's really bad. They put their team together and they storm the castle and they have fights and it's not great, man. I loved it up until the third act, and then it just it felt like they kept postponing that third act to do stuff that wasn't necessary. Like when the main character walks away and he can't do it and he has doubts and then he comes back and I don't know. I don't think it really holds up as well as you thought it did.
Okay.
And way I thought it did in the last episode that we just did.
Yeah. I can't argue because I haven't watched it recently, so I'm prepared to take your direction on this one.
But I really like the stylistic choices in Mystery Men, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very memorable. And it takes the piss out of superhero genres. But I think it did it too early. I think if Mystery Men came out now...
Yeah.
It would be a bigger hit.
Because it has much more to work with. People would mock 25, 30 Marvel movies and other DC movies and all that. And people have done that. So,
yes.
I agree with you. It would be a much bigger hit now. And in fact, you could argue that there are... I mean, if you look at something like the Invincible cartoon, that kind of mocks a lot of the people with powers. As I say, I've not rewatched Mystery Men recently, so I can't
talk about its longevity. It feels like a late 90s, early 2000s movie. It really does.
It is.
Yeah. But it's of that time.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Wanted, they could make Wanted right now and it would be the same movie.
Yeah.
It really wouldn't change anything. It's a much more serious movie. I mean, obviously, it's whereas Mystery Men's a comedy. So, I don't know. I lean towards Wanted only because I watched Mystery Men and I was like, yeah, okay.
I'm prepared to allow it.
All right. So, we're going to move Wanted up. It's going to get killed in the next one. next episode is going to be this. Honestly, this is probably going to be the hardest one that we've done of all of the brackets that we've done. The Avengers against Superman 2. That's not an easy choice. And then Spider-Man... 2002 against Wanted. I think we already know that Spider-Man is probably going to crush it. I might have to rewatch Wanted between now and then.
Yeah.
I don't need to rewatch Spider-Man. I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
That I know everything about that movie. So I'm going to rewatch Wanted and see if it holds a candle to Spider-Man, but I got a feeling that it's not. Mm-hmm. But Avengers and Superman 2, boy.
Yep.
I mean, those are some of the very best comic book movies of all time. How do you pick a winner? Well, we're going to do that on the next episode. Probably at least 3 weeks away. David's going to be on vacation next week, which is going to push Tech Fan back a week. And that's going to push this show back a week after that. So we're 3 weeks out from our next episode. And
so if anyone has any strong opinions either on what we've talked about or what's coming up, then please share them so we can... make this group decision.
And the easiest way to do that is just send us email to our other show, theshow@techfanpodcast.com. That's the easiest way of doing it.
Yep.
I'll see you in 2 weeks, my friend.
See you then.